It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here from Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Let me tell you what we're working on today. We've been really, hitting on this. I appreciate Nick Dranius coming on from the Goldwater Institute. That was good stuff, and we could have talked about that all day long. But let me tell you what's going on. The trials for the people held in Guantanamo have been, who's going to try them? Who has jurisdiction? Do you get habeas corpus? Can you be brought before a judge after how many years? I mean, as people have been teenagers, now they're going to go into what? They'll be, sooner or later, they're going to be hitting their 30s. I mean, we've been in Afghanistan longer than Vietnam, and we got people before we even got going that we captured and put in Guantanamo, and I don't know, how many years you got to waterboard somebody before you think you got all the, what you need out of them. Are they a threat? Were they a threat to begin with? I mean, this is bad. Then you have politicians running on to keep Guantanamo open, close Guantanamo. I changed my mind about Guantanamo. It's, Guantanamo's in Cuba. I didn't even know we had a base in Cuba. It goes on and on and on and on. So we're going to have somebody on. And then all of a sudden, what do we find out? They had a decision today. It's not even, it has not even hit the news wires yet. So we're having some people that were involved in this, groups, Witness Against Torture is a group of individuals that, there's a lot of people involved in this thing. So we're going to talk about that as soon at the bottom of the hour when we get some people on the line, tell us everything about it. But in overall general view, this is the concern that I have. If you have the concept, the idea that you can go and snatch somebody and put them in a detention, they can't leave area. You arrest them, you detain them, you jail them, you got them under your control. They are no longer free human beings out upon the land. Okay, I go in, I got a really, really, really good reason. All right, let's hear your reason. Well, I don't have to tell you. Well, let's take it for a judge. I don't have to take it for a judge. Well, let's have at least tribunal do the military. No, I don't got to do that either. Or if we're going to do anything, we'll do it in my little court and we'll set it up and have a tribunal of retired CIA scumbags that do hell other ones that telling us to do it anyway. So these are legal concepts. These are freedom concepts. These are the basis of what it is to be American as a people, as a government, as a philosophy. What are we fighting for over there? What is it that we're looking to do? What is it that we're hoping to accomplish? What is it that, the example that we're setting? What is it that we're selling? Because we're selling this. It used to be a big competition. It was, you had, communist option A and, what? America over here. What were we? What are we? Imperialist dog kind of thing? Well, are we making it easy for them to make these arguments? I am like looking at this as a history lesson for ourselves and for my children. I need to know what it is that we're advocating. What are we selling? During the process of this, there was a we had just came out today is the 14th, isn't it? Yeah, it just came out today. Bush administration lawyer urges court to toss torture suit. Okay, well, it doesn't sound like they tossed it. It looks like they got a decision on it. We're going to talk about that today. But I just got it from behind the scenes as we're trying to work with PS, not even on the news wires yet. So I'm trying to find it. I'll get it here before the bottom of the hour. But here we have a Bush administration lawyer was making the argument that they should drop these. Okay, well, you know, they're not in the administration anymore. You know, what do I care what they say? San Francisco, a senior Bush administration lawyer is urging a federal appeals court to dismiss a convicted terrorist lawsuit over legal memos authorizing harsh interrogation tactics. John Wu, or Yu, you know, Y-O-O, I don't know how you say it, John Yu, wrote the memos as a Department of Justice lawyer. His lawyer argued Monday before the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that allowing such lawsuits to proceed will open other presidential counsel to dangerous judicial second-guessing during wartime. There was never a declared war. Jose Padilla is serving a 17-year sentence for terrorism conspiracy. He claims the tactics used to interrogate him were torture. He seeks $1 in damages and a ruling that the tactics were unconstitutional. It's about principles, not about the money. $1, you know, let's get this taken care of. A Department of Justice review in February concluded you and a colleague showed poor judgment but did not commit misconduct in drafting the legal theories. Because what they had done is they wanted to have somebody from the Department of Justice saying, yeah, you know, enhanced interrogation. It was enhanced. It was authorizing harsh. You know, this kind of, you know, it's not torture. Well, then we have, you know, guys that are advocating for that's not torture. It's just water. So you feel like you're drowning a little bit. Yeah, what's the big deal? They define torture as you did permanent physical damage, you know, like you got a limp or something. You know, the fact that your brain is fried from being tortured, I guess that doesn't count. So you have talk show hosts like Mancow goes out and he says, all right, I'm going to do it. He gets up. He didn't last 5 seconds. And he's like, nope, torture, done. I quit. You know, I get it. All right, torture. I say torture. Sorry, but, you know, torture. You know, get Sean Hannity on the table, man. Get O'Reilly, Rush, all of them. But they like torture. Yeah, of course it's torture. Or they wouldn't say it's torture, but they don't care if it is and whatever. You know, what's the definition is. So we're in a situation that we really got to have the discussion. Do we support the concept of torture? Because I want to bring this up because I'm of the mind that the torture of the if it's bad enough they need to be tortured, it's probably bad enough, you know, I just take them out. I mean, you know, I'm why would I want to torture somebody? Because it's not about getting some information from them. It's not about, because I don't think you get more accurate information anyway, but it's not about them. It's about us. It's about what it does to us, not only as an individual, but as people, you know, a people. I am not going to ever advocate whether, you know, personally, I think, you know, question authority. Remember, a friend of mine used to say, he goes, question authority. I don't want to question it. I want to, you know, hang it by its wrist, cut off its fingers and toes and let it drip dry. Oh, yeah, you know, that's a little harsh. But, you know, the point is, is that the kind of mentality that you want? You want to go in and you want revenge? You want to be in charge? You know, make me in charge after we got rid of, you know, take the guillotine to these people? I don't want to be the guillotiner. I don't want to be the guy pulling the lever. You know, I sure as heck don't want to be in the line. You know, I'm just like, that's why a lot of the stuff, the advocacy that I make, hey, man, when this all comes tumbling down, you know, the masses, the people that are, you know, wanting justice, you know, they're going, yeah, Ernie probably, yeah, he probably doesn't deserve to be in the guillotine line. Okay, I'm good. That's all I'm looking for. I mean, hey, man, I didn't do it, you know. So, but does that mean that I want to be up there pulling the lever? No. Do I want to be doing the rack, the waterboarding, the torture, the Inquisition? No. Why? Do they deserve it? Well, that's not even the point. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to have my mind polluted, to have me changed from the human being that I advocate and want to be changed into someone that would torture other human beings. If you believe someone should be killed or exterminated or punished that way or something, you know, I mean, it's a, you know, almost the same argument. Now, I'll give you my death penalty spiel. The libertarian mindset pretty much goes like this. You cannot give or delegate the authority to government that which you as an individual don't have the power to do. How do you have the power to delegate it to someone if you don't have the power to do it? You know, think about that for a little bit. This would be a good time to take a break. You think about that. Can I delegate authority to the government to do something that as an individual I can't do? So, and if it, then who's really in charge? Think about it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, it's the same old, same old, same old, same old here on Declare. Independence, as we're pointing out, it's the same. You know, it's just the same stuff. You know, this is, I wanted you to think about that for a little bit, about, you know, the concept of, I give you a good example. Here's a hardcore example. Can I have a thermonuclear device in my garage? Yes, no. You know, is there a law? I guess there probably is, you know, but why not? The government gets to have one. Where'd they get the authority to do that? You know, the people had to give them the authority in order to be able to do it. I mean, they got it from somewhere. I mean, we're the government and we can do whatever we want. We can have the button, you know, blow up the planet. We can regulate and tax and we can do whatever we want. Where'd they get that authority to do that? Well, they got it from the consent of the governed. They had to get that authority from something, somebody, and they go, well, yeah, it's called elections. You had your chance, you know. Push the screen button. So if I can delegate authority to them, well, then where did they get that power from? They got it from me, you know, us. So I'm going, all right, you know, let's take that a little bit further. Let's go to IK and have my hydrogen bomb in the garage. Nope, can't. Why? Well, you know, who gets to say I can't? Well, the government does. All right. Why? So I want you to be in that mindset. You know, the first thing is like gun control. They'll go, we're going to take guns for, we got to do away with guns. Okay, police first. You know, you can't give authority to the government to have firearms and tanks and all this kind of stuff, and then I don't get to. I mean, that was the whole point, is that the people retain the right to defend themselves with whatever. So to take that and give it to the government, them to have the power to do it, but deny it of individual Americans, you already lost before you even got started to whatever the second question is. You know, and the reason we did that doesn't even matter what the reason is. You already delegated the authority to have the monopoly of force in the hands of the government. Why are we always advocating for the monopoly of force to belong to somebody else? You know, I say the democratization of force, you know, which means, you know, everybody gets to have a gun. In fact, it used to be that way. It kind of still is. I mean, you have, what do they call it? DMC, it's the marksmanship program. And what it is, they have these surplus World War II 30-06 M1s sitting around, and, oh, I want my M1. You get it for $300, $400, $500, depending on when. I remember back in the day, you just got to go and you get marksmanship training. You pass, you get your little certificate, then you get to buy one of these really nice carbines or, you know, these battle rifles. I know a lot of guys that have done that. Of course, they're on the list that they did it. But, I mean, you know, it's you go out, you get your marksmanship. And there was a big thing during the Clinton administration. They were taking these tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of these guns, and they were destroying them. And people were going, whoa, what the heck are you doing? You know, so then that kind of stopped. And, you know, I don't even know that we'll do a show on that sometime in the history of that. But, you know, the riflemen, the American riflemen, used to be supported by the government. In fact, you go to... Is it Switzerland or Sweden? I think it's Sweden. They have a big, like we have 4th of July Day. They have Big Gun Day. Everybody goes to the range. Everybody, in fact, you're required to go up once a year, muster up and go and make sure everything's working and, you know, and do your gun thing. You know, you go on YouTube. I mean, we've had posts on Freedom's Phoenix. You go, do I want to say it's Switzerland or Sweden? I should know. But you go on, you say, Gun Day, Sweden. Or Switzerland, and they'll come up. Yep, here we go. Well, that's a totally different mindset than you would think that would be here in America. Now let's go to death penalty. You know, I'm not saying I have the answer whether you should get your thermonuclear. I mean, you know, I'm sure I got a neighbor that, you know, make sure I didn't, and then it's kind of, I mean, that's a whole another concept. I just want you to think in the terms of the principle. Do we advocate delegating authority to a government entity that we do not retain for ourselves? We got to be careful about it because we're getting into the torture thing. Let's go ahead and go to the death penalty. Is it illegal for me to kill someone? Yeah, except under what conditions? Well, when I feel that my life is threatened. You know, you get stopped, the policeman comes and you got a bleeding body at your feet and you got a gun in your hand. And the only thing, if you say anything at all, is I feared for my life. I feared for my life. Well, what about I feared for my life? Well, he was going, I feared for my life. So if you have fear of it, you are certainly, you know, in almost every jurisdiction in this country, you know, to have the ability and the right to defend your life. Well, if you hold government to the same moral standard that you would an individual, well, that pretty much makes you a libertarian. I mean, that's one of the criteria that we use. I mean, you know, I hold the government to the same moral standard as I would any individual. I'll give you an example. Somebody's going to kill me, you know, I defend my life. They killed someone. I get them. I got them handcuffed. I have them contained. They're in a cage. All right. Can I kill them then? Well, you know, that's murder. They're not going to kill you. They're not a threat to you. You know, you can argue about whether you need they deserve it or not, or how heinous their crime was, or whether you want to take them to trial and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the process, we're going to give the government the ability to determine whether, okay, we got them in a cage, under control, we're going to kill them. They put them on death row. Are they a threat to anyone? Are they threatening to kill someone? Are they in the process? Well, if an individual, if I went into someone that's convicted murder, and I go in, heck, even if they confess, and I go up, boom, done. Can I do that as an individual? That would be murder. It would be illegal. But how is it then okay to delegate that authority to a government entity? I'm going to give the government the power to exterminate or to execute or whatever people based on whatever criteria they come up with. And they'll come up with some criteria. You know, it got to when they had the terrorist bill in the 90s after Oklahoma City, you deface federal property death penalty. So you got 17-year-olds out there with spray cans on a federal building, and they have the ability, you know, in law to execute them. I mean, you know, I mean, where's the line? What's the criteria? So I want this concept to be understood before we get into the next half hour, that you understand, be careful what you ask for. You must hold government action to the same moral standard as you would hold an individual, or they will go rogue. And you can't delegate authority to government, anything that you don't have, or certainly individuals or the people have, or where did they get the power to have it delegated from where? Now, is government's what, a king? They just take this divine authority? You know, these are the kind of things that, you know, how many libertarians can dance on the head of the pin kind of thing, because you need to understand they are going to use whatever, and all they have to say is one phrase, and they can do whatever the heck they want. National security. They've gotten away. You don't even hear them talking about individual rights. That was their whole purpose for existence to begin with. Never even crosses their lips. To defend the rights of the individual, we need, nope, don't even say that. The safety of the people, the national security interest. I thought the national security interest was individuals, individual right. You know, if you're not there to defend my individual rights, and what are you doing? We're defending the national interest. Oh, what's that? I thought national interest was defending the individual rights. Oh, it's not. Okay. Then we get to where we have these individuals that are a threat to national security. What is that? I don't know, but they're going to put them in Guantanamo for it, and they're going to be able to strip you of your citizenship so that they can make you an enemy combatant and put you in, and you can't see a judge, and they can torture you, and they can do whatever they want to you. Where did they get this power? They just made it up. All right, we'll talk about it. Stay right there.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Oh, there's definitely something going on. And it's not just over there. It's right here. You know, we have, you know, I wanted to do a show on the torture cases that's coming up, and of course Guantanamo, and we have promises from politicians are going to close it. They're not going to close it. They thought about closing it. They changed their mind about closing it. We're going to have habeas corpus. We're not going to have habeas corpus. We're going to have tribunals. We're not going to have tribunals. It's getting murky. And then you start having distractions. We got oil in the Gulf. So there was just, we have on Carmen Trotta and Packy Wayland, and I don't have much information on them other than they are advocates for the closing of Guantanamo and, you know, what up. But there's news that's breaking today. And Carmen, Packy, which one of you wants to go first?
Either way, my name's Carmen. I can go first.
Carmen.
You may think Carmen is a woman, but this Carmen's a man.
I'm sorry. Carmen, go ahead and tell us who you guys are, what your role in this, and wasn't there news today?
Well, there was news today. The news today is that the 27 of us who had done civil disobedience action at the U.S. Capitol, both on the steps outside the Capitol and in the rotunda, were the case was dismissed. And I think that was, it was on sort of a technicality. I actually think the judge in the case was moved by the testimony that he heard. I think he was struck by the fact that he himself did not know a lot about Guantanamo. And I would say that we had Bill Quigley from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Now, the Center for Constitutional Rights are the first people who went down and represented Guantanamo detainees, and they are the people who manage the 500 pro bono attorneys who go down and give their services to some of the Guantanamo detainees. So Quigley is a very gifted guy. And I think because what we did, in what we wanted to do was have a necessity defense or an international law defense. And we made, Bill Quigley made the strongest argument you could possibly make that that is what would be necessary and that we would really love to shine a light on Guantanamo and get away from the sort of overkill rhetoric that Guantanamo is always subject to.
Okay, let's go ahead and
I'm going too fast for you.
No. I just want to make sure the audience, we're walking this through. We got plenty of time. We'll go in until you guys are boring or get bored, okay?
That's great.
So this is what we're having. On May 30th in 2008, okay, about 2 years ago, you guys were sentenced, you know, for protesting abuses at Guantanamo. You went in front of the United States Supreme Court building, and you're one of the founding members of Witness Against Torture. And as a member of that group, you know, you're like, hey, you know, we'll get arrested. We'll do. In fact, that's it. We need a government number so that we can have, you know, your arrest number, petition number, or this number, or initiative number, or number, you know, campaign number. Get a government number, or you're not going to get any attention. Okay, so we'll get an arrest number. All right. So we got an arrest number out in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Is this the case that you're talking about from 2 years ago, or is this a new one that was being adjudicated that got dismissed?
Now, this is a new one. Yeah, in January of this year, a year to the day that the new president a year ago said he was going to close Guantanamo within a year. Well, he didn't do it. So on January 21st, we, Witness Against Torture, after fasting from January 11th, because January 11th is the anniversary, in 2002, Guantanamo was opened, and so it was the eighth year that it was opened. We marked it on January 11th. So starting January 11th until the 21st, there was a group that fasted, and then we went to the Capitol. We went both inside the Capitol and outside on the steps of the Capitol to protest, to exercise what we called our freedom of speech, what we referred to as our First Amendment right. In outside, and we'll tell you, because I was outside and Carmen was inside, and I think they're two slightly different scenarios that really bear hearing about. Outside, we stood with banners that said, broken lives, broken promises, broken laws. And what we were doing out there was notifying the world that we know what was happening, and we have got to hold our government accountable. So when it breaks the law, when it breaks promises, we have to speak out. So that's what we were doing. We were standing outside protesting the broken promise of our president.
No, I understand this now. How did they react? They that didn't make them none too happy, I would imagine.
Well, we were arrested. They asked us to move. We didn't. We were arrested, and we were charged with unlawful assembly. And we'll get back to that, but I want to give Carmen some time to talk to you, to tell you and the audience out listening out there what they were doing inside, because there's a special new twist to the action we took in relation to some of the men in Guantanamo.
Okay, go ahead, Carmen. Tell me what's up.
Well, I'll tell you what we did. You may know that Harper's came out with a story that the three Guantanamo detainees who had allegedly committed suicide simultaneously as an act of asymmetrical warfare against the United States.
They called it what? An act of symmetrical warfare by committing suicide?
Yeah, the guy at the base and the commanders at the base referred to it as an act of asymmetrical warfare against the United States.
I want to make sure we write that one down.
Said, you don't understand, these guys are like Nazis. They're fanatics. They're like the Ku Klux Klan. These are like the guys, he said, ironically, these are like the guys who they charged at Nuremberg. That's what the chief spokesman for the Pentagon said.
talking about the guys that committed suicide?
Yeah, now the guys actually didn't commit suicide. Their fathers, their parents didn't believe they committed suicide. It is much more likely that they were murdered or tortured to death.
No, you're missing my question. Let me ask my question. They're saying they're just like the Nazis at Nuremberg. They're bad, bad, bad. They're talking about the guards or something there, or they're talking about the people that actually committed suicide?
They're talking about the guys didn't actually commit suicide. They are talking about the Guantanamo prisoners. The Guantanamo prisoners are always... We've been told from the beginning, repeatedly, over and over again, every day, without fail and always, that these are hardened terrorists, Al-Qaeda operatives. Here's the key fact that the vast majority of Americans do not know, because it has been kept from them, about Guantanamo. The vast majority of the prisoners ever at Guantanamo were guilty of nothing but being in the wrong place at the wrong time and being Muslim.
Or got turned in by Afghani people for some cash. I mean, you know, they'd, you know, go rounding them up.
Same thing. That's what I mean.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Most of them were actually turned over by the ISI in Pakistan. So.
Okay.
We've known that, but the idea was never, I mean, Guantanamo was never real. There's never a real, you know, torture is not for eliciting information. It's for It's for fabricating information, always. So the Gulf War was founded in part because, you know, one of the great excuses that Colin Powell used was they had tortured testimony out of Sheikh al-Libni that there was a connection between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. It was horseshit. The Defense Intelligence Agency knew it was horseshit.
I got to warn you.
Before the UN and
the network wants me to warn you, you're not allowed to say bad words. I get in trouble, okay? So I said.
Sorry.
Now, the thing, yeah, I know we're talking about torture as if that's like a, you know, makes a big difference. But, you know, but that just because it's a FCC thing. Okay. So now we're looking at, we got, I know, isn't it ironic? You know, I got the government telling me about what's obscene. I want to make sure that we understand where we're going in this. We'll take the time to, you know, until you guys are bored. All right. I want to understand that we have people that are in Guantanamo that, let's say there is one evil SOB that is just the scum of the earth, blah, 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 blah. Do we torture him? Do we not give him a trial? Do we not have it public? Do we not have people understand what he did, what he's accused of, what the evidence is, what's going on? I mean,
not give the state that power. The state already has the power that it shouldn't have of capital punishment in too many places. You don't give the state that power. You try people, you charge them, you try them. If you find them guilty, you incarcerate them. That's
okay.
It.
Well,
there are
why?
No three categories. There is no category of prisoner. So what the administration is arguing now is that if you torture someone and you can't say I'm sorry and let him go because he's angry and he may join the fight against you, you can just keep him indefinitely in prison.
So that's their justification
now?
That's
tyrannical authority.
That's their justification
now. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what we were speaking to today and when we were doing our protest in January, that in a democratic society, you mustn't behave the way the United States is in relation to...
Okay, well, that's where we're going to go when we come back. They're going to push the button on us. So when we come back, you can see where this is going. You know, how much authority you want to give bad guys in the name of going after bad guys, you know, because then everybody's bad, and guess what? You're going to be bad someday. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive, love is found. Now ask yourself.
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Oh! It's right here, baby, on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, we got Carmen Trotta on and Packy Whalen. You know, this is what it's really all about. This, my daughter went to see the Black Eyed Peas a couple of months ago and was so, and I heard this song before, but I never paid attention to the lyrics, you know, blah, 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 more pop music. But she's going, Dad, you got to hear this. You got to put it on your show. And I'm like, let me hear it. And I go, ooh, that's good, because what's in there? You know, it's like, you know, these negative images. Where's the values of humanity? What are we teaching the youth? It's not just about whether these individuals are bad people or not. It's whether we want to be a people, individuals that condone and allow in our name torture of other human beings. It's way more. Certainly, it doesn't affect. I'm not being tortured. I mean, you know, I'm not feeling the whatever, the panic of death as I'm being waterboarded. But, you know, by me not speaking out against, by me not doing something, by me not talking about it, by me not using it in election cycle on radio, by me not doing that, am I being damaged? Am I allowing a next generation to be damaged? Am I allowing children to be brought up in a society that, and is it done on purpose? It's like they have to know they're not really getting any useful information, or even if they are, is it at what cost? I'm, you know,
Well,
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, is it intentional or is it just blindness? Do we still have this notion that that there really are, you know, a nation, there really is a nation that's good guys and a nation that's bad guys? Or are we all a mixture of all of that? And is it about greed? Is it about corporations? Is it about government that's not adhering to the laws of the land or to international law?
No,
and I don't care about.
You know, I don't. That you can get off on, go down dark path on, and international law and that law. And you're talking to libertarian, man. It's all these laws that's screwing us. You know, they just pass another law. Yay, we got another law. You know, my thing is, I'm looking at they created Guantanamo. For what? Let me ask a series of questions. They created Guantanamo. Why?
Don't know why. I don't know if there's anyone within the administration that actually thought it would work. It is remotely... the best reason that I could think to create Guantanamo would be to create a permanent enemy. And so it's sort of the Israeli option. The Israelis can tease and oppress the Palestinians and always get a terrorist attack out of them, and then they could run a national security state. In a certain way, if you wanted the oil out of the Middle East and you wanted a sort of permanent enemy there that you could demonize, it's like the new Cold War. So perhaps Guantanamo and the sort of torture paradigm and the whole system was a way to begin to seek to control world oil supply and provide us with a sort of permanent enemy.
Yeah,
and
see that.
I don't stand by that. I don't actually believe that. It's simply the best excuse I can come up with.
Well, I'm trying to let me.
It makes no sense.
Well, let's think out loud here a second. You know, I'm going, okay. So we created Guantanamo for what is there thousands and thousands and thousands of POWs that we need a place in Cuba, no less. I mean, they wanted to have it remote. They didn't want to have it on you.
They're only capable. Guantanamo only holds 600. The maximum of Guantanamo was a little over 600. And it all told, it's only had 800 prisoners at Guantanamo. It's not thousands.
Okay,
Bagram right now, which is the new Guantanamo, is considerably larger than Guantanamo.
No, my point is that they can't house enough thousands of people with all the military operations that we have. I mean, you know, how big do you want to get? Do you want to have, you know, like here in America, we become the largest incarceration by percentage in the world? Heck, not even by percentage, by numbers. I mean, we incarcerate everybody. So now we're going to go out and look for more people to incarcerate? Are we creating a prison industrial complex not only inside the U.S., it's also, you know, a money-making venture outside? So that we can punish
people? It's a money-making venture. You know, actually, it's an interesting thing because I wonder about that, and I tend to think that what it does is it provides a kind of mechanism for political corruption on the sort of state level. So you can get, you know, you get people to invest in the sort of prison industrial complex because it corrupts the local, because you have corrupted local political systems that enjoy getting the money. And so it's not really about incarcerating people. It's not really about high levels of crime. It's not really about what it's really about is getting an injection of money into an economy that's not actually producing anything.
I'm trying to understand. You know, I can see that you can go to some podunk little town in America and say, "We'll build a prison here. You can make money." Or they go, "Hey, we'd rather do that in some."
Well, not only do you make money. We'll move 1,000 people into the prison, or 600 people into the prison, and we will count them. They count as your county's vote.
For congressional races.
They vote for you. They're counted on the government rolls as though they live there.
So you get more congressmen, you get more public aid, they count on the census.
Go.
I get it.
That's right. All of the above, yeah.
No, now the other thing that I'm thinking is, well, you know, maybe we don't want to, you know, go into the hills of Kentucky. Maybe we want to send them the, you know, the hills of Bosnia. Okay. Maybe we want to, you know, support some little Indonesian, local governor kind of secret rendition, prison de la CIA, whatever. You know, this is, all these things, whether that is the intent at the beginning, that's going to be the result. I mean, this will happen.
No, see, I disagree with you because I'm not a libertarian. I'd probably be much more of a socialist, and I've always called myself an anarchist. But these larger systems, we live in too large, the population of the planet is too large for us to each live, as savages, sort of out on our own, with no law. There are going to have to be laws. We share entire cities. The asphalt in our cities, the places to store asphalt, the places to generate electricity, all those things are part of a sort of complex web of technology. And if you raise people to be good citizens and have some good sense of the public realm, you can have a decent socialist society. And you could have it. You could have a state, but that state would have to be highly regulated. Now, my problem is, while you may agree with you want to do away with government, I don't know too many folks from your perspective that actually recognize the evil of the corporate structure.
Oh, no, 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 I'm with you.
You
don't, you do not get a corporation without the help of the government. You do not have limited liability. You do not have corporate monopoly. You do not have all the abuses that we have now without the government being there to grant it. That's the problem. You know, you want to do away with all this corporate Wall Street and monopoly and the evils of, well, stop having a government that supports it. That's, how do you think they get to be that way? When you have, if they are very monopolistic and popular, well, you go, okay, well, I guess people like it. And in a free market, they get to have competition. No, we're getting off the subject. We're getting off the subject here.
Black or white.
We're getting off.
I don't think the situation, I don't think the answer is black or white.
You're getting off the subject here. You're getting off the subject here. And I want to make sure that we focus on Guantanamo and the torture thing. And I'm telling you, the torture here is being done by government.
Who's it being done by? Let's go back to this question, because you're taking this libertarian position, and I, like Carmen, don't know a lot about the libertarian position, but I do know this.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
that for freedom to be the answer, some of the questions we need to ask is, how free are we, and how do we get the freedoms that we have allowed to erode, how do we get those back? You know, how do the people elect our representatives? How do we take corporations out of personhood, or personhood out of corporations?
No, I don't. You don't have a problem with this on there, because the problem is that you give corporations limited liability, like Gulf oil spill, and you'll say, you know, guess what? BP doesn't exist anymore. All your goodies are going to go to clean up your mess. Oh, you don't have any more left over? Well, that sucks to be you.
Hey,
okay?
Answer me this. Is it not, like, no political label on this. But the BP scandal, like, I cannot believe that on day two of the event, the government didn't step in and say, let's get the Army Corps of Engineers down there and let's fix this. And to give it to allow BP to do it, to me, crazy. If it is in fact the case that
because
only
you're thinking
engineers that can do it, they ought never ever to have allowed them to drill.
Because you're thinking that BP is not the government. Of course they are. This whole thing, that's the problem. Whenever you create a consolidation of power, you will always have the powerful go be in charge of it. That's why they want the consolidation of power, is so they can be in charge of it. And the more socialist you, I'll keep you guys over. You guys go ahead and stay. You guys want to go off on this? This is all right. We'll do it. We'll do battle. You wanna play libertarian versus socialism? Let's do it. You know, we're gonna have some fun.
I'm not good at it.
You're not allowed to leave. You're not allowed. Stay right there. We'll be right back.